Please remain standing for the reading of God's word.
Today's sermon text comes from Proverbs 1, 20 through 33. Hear the word of the Lord. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. And Father, now we ask that you would speak to us through your holy word, that your Holy Spirit would stir in us conviction for sin where it is needed. You would lead us, God, to repentance and a deepened trust and confidence in the salvation that is found in Jesus Christ alone. For it is in his name that we pray all these things. Amen. Well, this morning, friends, our sermon will be a little bit more brief because we have the great privilege and blessing of hearing from a sister and a few brothers in Christ, their testimonies. In the newsletter this week, though, I will go in more detail, go in more of an in-depth look at some of the application of Proverbs 1, 20 through 33. So you can look forward to that in this week's newsletter. Regrets. Regrets. We all have regrets now as we look back on our lives. And we will very likely have some regrets in the near or distant future. According to the Oxford Dictionary, a regret can be defined like this. To regret something, quote, is to feel sorry about something you have done or about something that you've not been able to do. A regret can be defined as sorrow for something lost, a grief for something you no longer can do. What do people regret on their deathbeds? Here are a few popular regrets at the end of people's lives. I wish I would have trusted my intuition. I wish I didn't work so hard. I wish I would have gone with a better crowd. I wish I would have stayed in touch with my friends. I wish I would have taken more chances. I wish I had more confidence in myself. I did say these are popular regrets, not biblical regrets. And popular often means worldly. It appeals to the flesh. It's easy. The list I just gave you had some regrets that are probably rooted in a good thing, a desire to spend more time with family than at work, a desire to stay in touch with one's friends. But of course, there are others listed there that are not rooted in biblical wisdom. But I wonder, friends, on your deathbed, what will your regrets be? When it comes to the end of your life, what will you think? The Word of God generally, and the Proverbs in particular, invite us to consider the way that we are going, so that we will not have those regrets at the end of our lives. Proverbs 5 actually sets up a scenario of a young man at the end of his life who ignored all wisdom and flirted with foolishness. Proverbs 5, 11 through 14 says, quote, "At the end of your life, you will groan. When your flesh and your body are spent, you will say, 'How I hated discipline. How my heart spurned correction. I would not obey my teachers or turn my ear to my instructors, and I was soon in serious trouble in the assembly of God's people.'" Regret. On display in sacred scripture, as a warning to you and me, brothers and sisters in Christ and friends. Now, to be sure, we as Christians know that by God's grace, the regrets that we have in our hearts due to our sins, they have been fully paid for because of Jesus Christ. But that does not mean we should put our guard down. That should not mean for us that we should coast in this life. And it also does not mean that we won't have regrets if we don't heed the wisdom of Scripture. But can I ask you, in the way that you're currently living, what will you regret on your deathbed? I think for every Christian, this would be one of ours. I wish I would have lived more wisely for God. I wish I would have loved more wisely for God. There are many things in our world that promise no regrets. They advertise, they market their product as if you can only find satisfaction and no buyer's remorse when you purchase that product. But friends, today we are looking at divine counsel from the living Lord. We are looking at wisdom that if you accept it, you will never regret it, as one ancient pastor put it. To accept the wisdom today, you will hear, to accept it and receive it, will lead you down a path where you do not have regrets that so many millions of other people do. In surgery, we often hear of something called the surgeon's scalpel, or knife, a razor-sharp blade for the most careful and precise of surgeries. And it's no accident that the Word of God is compared to a sword. It is sharp. It can pierce the intentions of your heart and mine, going at the core of who we are and exposing what's going on inside of our lives. And so at the end of our life, I want you to realize that today God has graciously put you exactly where you are. He wants to intervene so that you would change courses. He wants you to stop pursuing a life of folly. I want you to view today, friends, as a kind of pre-death spiritual autopsy. The Word of God will give us here warnings about the path that leads to life and the path that leads to death. And make no mistake, friends, that every single human being is either on the path to death or on the path to life right now. Since God has given us warnings of death and life, today put your way under the examiner's knife. Since God gives us warnings of death and life, today put your way under the examiner's knife, namely the Word of God. Today we're going to look at what wisdom demands, and also we'll examine if you really love wisdom and are walking in wisdom's ways. Friends, hear me on this. The stakes could not be higher. The stakes could not be higher. God does everything purposefully and intentionally. He wanted you here today, as I said. Eternal life and eternal death, they are at stake. And a life totally devoted to God versus a phony life that will end in misery and regret is what we're talking about. He warns you today and desires for you and me to put our lives honestly under the examination of His Word, the examiner's knife. Before we dive into the specifics of today's text, remember, friends, the foundation of wisdom. We've looked at that the last 2 weeks. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. We define fear as that inner conviction that inner conviction of reverent awe. This sense of God needs to be supreme in our lives. And when we fear God, it humbles us, and this fear grips us, and it guides us. So the fear of the Lord is the starting point, friends. Do you trust the Lord? Does He have the highest place in your life, the number one place in your life? Are all things that you do, everything you say, is it guided by this? That I fear God above all. Is His word central? Does His word alone drive you in your decisions inwardly? Fear of the Lord, beginning of wisdom. Now for our text today, what does wisdom demand? The warning that God gives us is this in Proverbs 1:23, wisdom demands repentance. Wisdom demands repentance. Look at Proverbs 1:23 in your Bibles. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. To turn is the Hebrew word shuv, shuv. It is used over 1,000 times in the Old Testament. And it refers to reversing course, changing one's mind, one's whole disposition in life. It's a total change in one's direction. There's a quote on the back of your sermon sheet there, and you can find it if you're taking notes there. It's a longer quote. I'm only going to read a portion of it, but it's by a pastor named Joseph Bellamy, 18th century pastor, who helpfully said this about repentance. Quote, "To repent is to change our minds as to the divine character, to lay aside our prejudices, to open our eyes, and to begin to look upon God as He is, an absolutely perfect, infinitely glorious, and amiable being, infinitely worthy of supreme love and honor and of universal obedience, and in light of this glory, to then cordially take all that blame to ourselves which God lays upon us and to be affected accordingly." Repentance, friends, according to Bellamy, is realizing that should justice take place, no iniquity, that is, wrongdoing, could be imputed to God. It would be not a blemish, but a beauty to God's character, and all of heaven ought to forever love and adore God's glorious majesty, should I receive my just deserts and perish forever. But repentance is also saying, you, God, is the one I can cast mercy upon. You, through Jesus Christ, through your infinite grace, your self-moving goodness, you are the one to whom I look. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Repentance is a place of hopelessness, of helplessness, and an accurate view of yourself and God. And it's not optional for true believers. For all are truly on the way to life who are true believers. In Proverbs 1:22, we see three specific individuals who are called to repent of three specific kinds of sins. Again, I urge you with this, friends, since God gives us warnings in His Word, put your life under the examiner's knife and ask yourself, do any of these describe me? The first is this, the simple. Simple people must repent of their misguided love. Wisdom calls out in verse 22 of Proverbs 1 and says, "How long, O simple ones, how long will you love being simple?" We defined the simple last week as those who are inexperienced, those who are naive. They consider themselves open-minded, but they love their simple, naive, and silly ways. In fact, they're easily seduced and tricked. And they like being simple-minded. They enjoy rejecting wisdom. Their simple ways are affirmed by counselors and psychologists and therapists in our day as authentic. Being simple in the United States today, friends, is viewed as a moral good. It is viewed as among the highest virtues. Make no mistake, friends, there are millions of simple-minded people influencing you and me and our children and your grandchildren. They say things like this, "I don't read books because they're filled with prejudice and impurities. These simple-minded people think that corruption is outside of us rather than from within. But this is ultimately misguided. It's naive and ultimately destructive. It's a destructive love of being simple. It must be repented of. The next sin that needs to be repented of in the category is the scoffer. Again, verse 22. Wisdom calls out and says, "How long will the scoffer? How long will the scoffer delight in their scoffing?" Another word for scoffer is mocker. These are arrogant people who think they have wisdom because they can quickly make others laugh or smile. They delight in this. Everything's a joke. But it's also a godless path. Many comedians today are among this number. They're viewed as cute, they're viewed as sophisticated, but they mock the devotion of other people to God. They scoff at what God's word clearly teaches and reveals, and they scoff at the wisdom that our communities of faith, that our consciences know are right and wrong. The scoffer, the mocker, is one who must repent of this evil delight they get from mocking others. And third, we have the simple who needs to repent of loving their simplicity. We have the scoffer who needs to repent of their evil delight in scoffing. And we have, third here, the fool who must repent of hating knowledge. The fool must repent of hating knowledge. Again, verse 22 says this, "How long, says wisdom, will fools hate knowledge?" According to God's word, ultimate knowledge, and all knowledge, in fact, friends, that is true knowledge, is found in the Lord. The Lord knows all things, Scripture tells us. God reveals knowledge concerning Himself and the world, concerning ourselves and our salvation through Jesus. But fools, they hate knowledge. They despise knowledge, and they are prideful people as well, who ironically think that they know more than God. And these are people who especially hate moral knowledge. Look in your Bibles at Proverbs 1:29. They hated moral knowledge. To be clear, friends, these three individuals, the simple, the scoffer, and the fool, as we saw last week, we have no room as Christians to be arrogant towards them. Titus 3 told us, we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, haters. That's who we were. So we look with pity and concern on those who are simple, on those who are scoffers, on those who are foolish. And friends, if any of those three describe you today, the invitation from the Lord Almighty to you is to repent and to cast yourselves on His mercy. He will receive you in all your folly, in all your simplicity, in all your scoffing. But perhaps you think, another day, Pastor. Not today, there'll be plenty of time for that. Oh, dear friend, you display you are simple. You display that you are the naive fool. You would display a scoffing at the wisdom of God if you delay this. Proverbs 1:24-27, look in your Bibles with me. God says to all sinners, wisdom won't always be there to help. This is something that's vital for us to realize, friends. Wisdom will not always be there to help. And in fact, one day, wisdom will mock those who rejected her counsel. Proverbs 1:24-27 says this, because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you've ignored my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm. And your calamity comes like a whirlwind when distress and anguish come upon you. Friends, a time will come in all our lives when wisdom will not be there. Though wisdom has repeatedly called out and cried out, come, turn, and live. Look at that imagery, stretching out her hand, extending this hand of help. Through your parents, children, a voice of wisdom. Through a godly friend, a pastor who preached a sermon to you. And you kept thinking, another day, not now, I've got too much to do, I'm enjoying my folly, I'm enjoying my simplicity. Woe to you, friend. Woe to you who mock the wisdom that God holds out for you today. One day, wisdom will mock and laugh at your calamity, and she will not be there to help you. She will not always be available to you. And so as the scriptures tell us, do not presume upon God's willingness to extend his wisdom to you today. 1759 hymn, Come Ye Sinners, Poor and Needy, we've sang it here before in church, captures this idea very well. Hear the words of this wonderful hymn. Come ye thirsty, come and welcome. God's free bounty glorify. True belief and true repentance, every grace that brings you nigh. Come ye weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. Here's the line. If you tarry, that just means delay. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. Friends, how can you know if you are walking in the path of wisdom? See, it's not enough just to avoid the path of folly, the naive path, the simple path, the scoffing path. We ought to examine our lives under the knife of Scripture to see if we are, in fact, walking in the way that leads to life. And Proverbs 1:20-33 gives us four indicators of those who are wise and who are walking in the path of life. To close our time briefly this morning, four indicators of if you are walking in the path of wisdom. The first is this, that the wise love knowledge. The wise love knowledge. We've already seen the contrast that fools hate knowledge, that fools hated knowledge. And so the question for you today, friends, is do you love knowledge? Not just do you know something about God, but do you love knowledge? See, the wise know that God is the source of knowledge. Wise people know that God is the giver of knowledge. And we love that God has given us knowledge, true truth concerning himself, his goodness, his glory. And the Bible calls us repeatedly, for example, in 2 Peter 3:18, to grow in the grace and, here it is, knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we praise God when we see people walking under the Lordship of Christ, seeking knowledge, not actively acting as if God does not exist, as if knowledge is actually not real. No, friends, we delight when people under the Lordship of Christ are humbly seeking to know more about God and his ways. What about you, friend? Do you love God's knowledge? Do you love learning about him? Do you take every opportunity you can to get into his word, to learn his ways, to understand what it means to live a skillful and a godly life, to understand how God made the world? Do you delight in and do you love knowledge? The wise love knowledge. The second indicator, if you are on the path of wisdom, the way to life, is this. The wise receive counsel and correction. The wise receive counsel and correction. Proverbs 1:30-31 says this. Of those who rejected wisdom, they would have none of my counsel, wisdom cries. They despised all my reproof. Do you receive counsel and correction, friends? Children, do you receive your mother and father's instruction and their correction? Are you wise when they discipline you? Remember that God will gladly and fully and freely forgive you for all your sins if you don't receive your parents' correction the way you should. God always invites you to say you're sorry to him in the time that he gives you. But for all of us here today, children or men and women, I wonder, what's your posture as someone corrects you, as someone counsels you? Do you reject it? Do you think you've arrived and you don't need to be counseled and corrected? That's the way of the fool, friends. Let me tell you, though, something, friends. The fact that you're here today greatly encourages my heart. It greatly encourages my heart because you are here today to be counseled by the Word of God, to be corrected by the Word of God. You see your need for God and for His Word. And so you encourage me tremendously that you're sitting in the pew, eager to sing of God and His praises and His glory. You're eager to learn from God's Word. A wise man, a wise woman, receives counsel and receives correction wherever God offers it. So does this describe you, friends, receiving counsel and correction? Third, the wise choose to fear the Lord. The wise choose to fear the Lord. Proverbs 1, 28 and 29, again, as wisdom is saying that she will not answer those who've rejected her wisdom, we see and hear what the wise will choose to do. Proverbs 1, 29, because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. We've already seen in previous weeks that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools reject instruction, and fools reject the fear of the Lord. But friends, we have to actively choose to fear the Lord. The beginning of wisdom, we daily and actively say, God, give me this inner reverence and awe for you. Help me take every thought captive with the Holy Spirit's help. Help me not to go down the road of the fool. Friends, we choose, we elect to personally go in the way we should go. But it starts with what we think inside our hearts about God. And this confidence is that God is totally in control. He's all powerful. And the last indicator, the final knife, as it were, to put under your life is this. The wise listen to wisdom. The wise listen to wisdom. Look at Proverbs 1:33. Just a glorious, hope-filled verse here. Whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Friends, do you listen to wisdom? Verse 33 gives us this great hope, this greatest confidence, and one of the most comforting things we could ever imagine. But when we listen, when we hear, and we act upon the truth that we have received, living in light of the way God has designed the world and has revealed Himself to be in His Word, we dwell secure. We dwell at ease without a single dread of disaster. And at the end of the day, friends, here's what's at stake. Receiving wisdom, repenting, what it brings is eternal blessings and security. When you receive wisdom, when you repent of your folly, of your simple way of life, you're scoffing. It brings eternal blessings and security. The blessing that God will pour out His Spirit to you. The blessing that God will make His words known to you. Paul said in Romans 8, listen to the confidence and the security that Paul was gripped with. It's rooted in the same idea as here in Proverbs 1. Paul said in Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No! In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul had confidence that he was in God's favor, in God's blessings, in the security of God, because he did in fact receive the wisdom and repent of his sins. He trusted in Christ alone. Friends, for most people, death, understandably, is the ultimate disaster. But for those of us who are in Christ, to those of us who are walking wisely on the path to life, all by God's grace, to those of us who love knowledge, who receive counsel and correction, who choose to fear the Lord and who listen to wisdom, oh friends, we dwell secure. And we can praise God for that. Of course, this means, and it's an important warning, that rejecting wisdom, rejecting repentance brings disaster and death. Proverbs 1:30. Again, wisdom calling out to those who've rejected her counsel. They shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. Friends, today is the day of salvation. The Lord is not mocked, as we saw in the study through Galatians. People reap what they sow. Waiting and delaying, it's a foolish path. It's a destructive path. Those who love to mock, those who hate knowledge, those who are not willing to give up their naive and simple ways, they never give up their immature ways and think they are secure, they display utter folly and blindness to what will come. They're on the path of death and disaster, friends, and we ought to warn them in love. The truth is, friends, that the most foolish thing in the world for any person to reject is God's grace and eternal life in Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:3 and 1 Corinthians 1:24 tell us that Christ is the wisdom of God, that in Jesus Christ all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found. God has given us Jesus Christ to be our righteousness, to be our wisdom. Did you notice in Proverbs 1 that it said, none have followed my way? Wisdom is telling us there that none of us have followed in those ways, and yet God has graciously given us in Jesus a Savior who was always wise, who always did what was right on our behalf. Oh, dear friends, at the end of our days, if any single one of us neglect the call of Lady Wisdom, reject the wisdom of God, the Son of God, the Savior of sinners, they display an arrogance again and again and again. Wisdom has called repeatedly. Wisdom calls today. Thanks be to God that in Jesus Christ we dwell secure and we have safe refuge. Amen. And thanks be to God that the Holy Spirit will guide us into wisdom and into truth and deeper devotion. Friends, since God has warned us what leads to death and life, let us not stop putting our hearts under the examiner's knife of the Word of God. Let us turn to Christ and live and walk in Christ's ways and live forevermore. Let's pray. Merciful Father, we come before you with great confidence and hope. We thank you because though we were once foolish, though we were once far from at peace with you, we were at war with you. We thank you, God, that by your Holy Spirit's conviction, in your grace and your kindness, you have convicted us of our sin. You have led us to repentance and faith in Jesus. Oh Lord, in this place among us, we your people here, help us to fear you more in 2021. Help us to walk in your ways. Help us to examine our paths. Help us to be people who are quick to repent, to quick to humble ourselves, an eager and zealous God to be people of your word, people who walk in wisdom. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.